Coming up on Patriots This Week, frustration in Foxborough.
Just made too many mistakes and didn't play well on top of that.
We didn't have it the way we needed it tonight.
The Chiefs' fourth quarter flurry made one Patriot a doubting Thomas.
We got to dig a lot deeper than we did tonight because we didn't dig very deep tonight.
We all got to do a better job. Really nothing's good enough.
Not even the Gillette Stadium turf. The new field installed in May got tossed in the loss. A turf exorcism. Now it's on to New Orleans and a rededication to get back to their winning ways.
Anytime we lose around here, it's a reality check.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
After the season opener, time to take a different field, both at home and, of course, in week two in New Orleans. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy joined by my radio partner from 98.5, the Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, and a three-time Super Bowl champion for the Pats, Matt Chatham. And the Patriots tore up the turf at Gillette Stadium. Wasn't suitable for the NFL. And meanwhile, they're preparing to go down to the Louisiana Superdome to take on the Saints in week two of the NFL season. 9 days in between the opener and that game. It's been a long week already for the Pats in preparation for the Saints, of course, regrouping after that week.
It's been a really long week. And I don't know what game you were watching. I thought the Kansas City Chiefs tore up that field. Yeah. You know, Tyreek Hill, right down. There's still smoke tracks out there from that 4-3. 3 days in between till the next time you saw the next game. And I didn't feel good for 3 days. I don't know about you, Matt Chatham, but you're thinking, okay, they didn't get off to a great start. I'm just worried about other teams in this league. Is Pittsburgh going to come out with gangbusters? Oakland, we've heard so much about. A team like Denver. And you watch the rest of the AFC. I feel pretty good over this past week as you know, we head into New Orleans this weekend. So I'm excited.
You know what it felt like to me? It felt like they didn't have a full game. You know, we went preseason, and if you go back and look at the Patriots game, 27 points through three quarters, and that's with a couple missed opportunities. Could have easily made that 11 more than that. That's almost 30-some points in three quarters of time. What's that? That's preseason football. Go out, smoke it for three series against Detroit, get off the field. Those are your guys. That's what it felt like. When did it fall off? The fourth quarter, which you don't get to do in the preseason.
Which is bad for them at home, banner night. Yeah. That's the most disappointing thing is...
It's just not something you've repped, though. That's my point.
They didn't play well on both sides of the ball. And I know they put up 27 points on offense, but it didn't feel like the 27 that we're used to seeing, the two missed fourth and ones. Those are killers. Yeah. Those are 14 points right there. Yeah. And I was with them on both calls. You go for it. You're at home. You're the defending champ. Oh, for sure. You want the double score. You want to play out in front of that team. You get a 14 spot, 20 spot on that team, that team's not going to play catch-up, meaning the Kansas City Chiefs.
When it comes to communication, is that the first area the Patriots must address from a defensive standpoint, going up against New Orleans and Drew Brees?
You get your three biggest plays, the bust on Hill in coverage, the back Hunt out on a mismatch that you don't ever want him on a defensive end for a long run.
New guy.
And the long run by Hunt in the fourth quarter on the edge, where the edge was really terrible and they run right around the corner. Those three plays are like half the offense they had in the game. And this is a place that usually doesn't have the big plays. One of those is communication, the other two aren't. And I'm going back and sort of watching all the defensive plays. If you were to try to find a theme, it's hard when the execution's up and down all over the place. It's not to me about pass rush. It's not to me about downfield pass coverage. It's mostly about run fits. Kareem Hunt had way too many times where it's 8 yards on first down, you know, 6 yards at times where you don't need it on third and two, something like that. So it's run fits are better and pass coverage low. Low crossers, matches in the sort of low to intermediate area that usually isn't a problem. Just sloppy stuff that you usually don't see. You take away those two things, it's an entirely different game. It's easy to say take away those two things, but I think it's not like a big broad brush thing. There's a lot of small things. Fix them, you'll be fine.
What we do in New England is we sort of overreact whether it's good or bad. Now, say things would have went great. We'd be sitting here talking 16-0. I think you could shelf the 16-0 talk. That may be the best defense they face the rest of the way. We got 15 more games to call. Peters and Eric Berry were probably the two best corners cover guys we've seen. One's a safety, one's a corner. Two best cover guys we've seen since Denver with Chris Harris and Aqib Talib. They defense Chris Hogan really well. Not to say Chris Hogan's going to be an inside or outside guy. I think he's more comfortable on the outside. And Rob Gronkowski, there were a couple no-calls in that game where they're all over the back. You saw him holding the jersey, holding the belt area. And it was good, smart, veteran-type plays by guys like Barry who knew how to play it without getting the call.
just to stick with the communication theme on the offensive side, the unspoken communication that exists between Brady and receivers with whom he's worked so well, right, like Edelman and Amendola, sometimes Gronk, as we've seen in the past. Now the adjustments the Pats must make. We don't know about Danny Amendola's status, but what can they do offensively?
Two major things to me. When you go back and watch it and say they're a sliver from being so good here. It's the sticks routes, the comebacks with Brandon Cook haven't been sharp.
It's got to be better.
It's got to be better. And because those are the conversions and got to have it moments where you always saw Jules get those. And you go back in that late in the fourth quarter, one of the first drives of the fourth quarter, when they had a third and eight, Brandon gets his guy run off, comes back. The ball's a little high, but he jumped, and I don't think it's a ball you normally jump for. It ends up being out of bounds and not caught.
I mean,
that's the kind
close,
of ball you're always used to seeing caught. So I think that's a big part of it. The second one is I think more routes with Gronk going away from people. There were so many downfield back shoulder balls, which is a low percentage one. It's cool to see him do it from time to time, but knowing how to cover that big 6'6", 6'7", dude, the hardest thing is when you're up on him and he breaks away from the sideline and Tom puts that ball on him. So more of those two kinds of routes, the personnel is fine.
Brady just wasn't sharp in this game. That's one thing that sticks with me. I can't wait to see him week two because I know how he's going to prepare, how he's going to react, how he's going to carry himself. How he's going to carry himself.
You know, Matt, to your point, too, about preseason play, there were guys who were not on the field for many snaps, and some, like Nate Solder, your starting left tackle, who played a lot of snaps in the opener, who weren't on the field at all in the preseason. So his conditioning comes into effect here in week two. Should that be a difference as well for the Pats?
I think so. I mean, it's not an excuse because the Chiefs probably have very similar situations, guys that didn't play a ton of snaps in the preseason either, so they reacted better to it. But, yeah, I think if you look at some of the worst offensive series they had, they all happened in the fourth quarter. You look at some of the worst defensive series the Patriots had, other than the one-play drive stuff where it's just a communication breakdown, that was in the fourth quarter as well. So that's when a lot of the new faces come in because you're worn down and you're starting to rotate guys and the errors come with people who haven't been on the field as much. And then some of the guys that haven't been, they aren't used to playing 60 snaps. So I think that's the give and take you get with this kind of preseason, this kind of light training camp.
They don't want to hear it from, you know, call for
former dudes.
Three experts are dumbasses sitting on seats here right, to where we're going to tell, they're going to listen to them how to run, fourth and inches and fourth. Why do we got to bring Ladrian Waddle into the game to where he checks in, he goes to left tackle, Solder becomes your bona fide tight end. We kick down to splits, Marcus Cannon's to the right. The overthinking on fourth and 6 inches. Now, the sneak wasn't there. We said it, too, on the broadcast. You could tell they were in that diamond. They clogged up that middle. Why can't we just hand the ball, run off tackle, bring James Devlin in the game? Let's go.
I'll tell you one of the things.
You got Gillislee for it, right?
As a defensive player, if you're off the ball on those kind of situations, one of the things that makes that easier is when they don't motion. When they line up in those huge jumbo sets, you know they have a strength side with the third tight end.
It's like football
ball. You get ready to roll. All they do is motion the third tight end or move the fullback a little bit, and there's a little uncertainty about which side. I didn't like that in there's those third and shorts and fourth and shorts they missed on. It was stable. It just stayed, pause, and you could just blow off the line and grab it. I mean, you didn't create any little bit of confusion, and as good as Gillislee is getting on blocks, I think it helps you. And you remember the one touchdown they scored, I think it was the first drive, that was a short yardage situation where they went off tackle. And I think that's really where he's better at.
We're looking at snap trackers. Deion Lewis barely played in that game, especially at the beginning. James White had more touches early in the first half than he's had in his whole career here. The running backs I played with love to get the ball, love to get the feel of the game. And the game's changed, trust me. I mean, you're not giving the guy the ball 25, 30 times like we did Curtis Martin to where you start to get to going downhill. But when was LeGarrette Blount really good? The more they gave him the football. Because it seems like he had a better feel, he would start coming downhill more. I like to see him say, you know what, we're going to go Gillislee this entire series, and we're going to run him. Or we're going to go Burkhead this entire series, we're going to run him. Because James White in the game, guess where the ball's going? Outside. What'd they win a Super Bowl with? Toss outside. What'd they do? Flip the formation this game. Toss left. People are screaming at me, why are they tossing the ball out to the left to James White down inside? I said, did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch what he did, you know, against Atlanta? That's why they're doing it, because it worked before.
I'll see you guys again in our third segment when we talk about the Saints game. But coming up next, it's Bank Shots right here on Patriots This Week, right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Mike Gillisley. Signed as a free agent from the Buffalo Bills, the 5'11", 219-pounder was the designated choice to get the tough yards near the goal line. And in the season opener, the fifth-year back out of Florida scored three touchdowns. Inheriting the LeGarrette Blount role in the offense, the 27-year-old also rushed for 45 yards against the Chiefs. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We welcome you back inside our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time now to check in with our NFL insider and his bank shots, Don Banks. And Don, the Tennessee Titans entertain the Oakland Raiders. Tennessee, a trendy pick. Oakland, though, with something we've seen before as a Seattle Seahawk in particular, Marshawn Lynch in beast mode down the stretch.
Bob, he is such an attitude changer for that Raiders team. I was talking to Matt Millen the other day, does preseason games for the Raiders Network. He said he's going to be the tip of the spear. It's not just the yardage. It's the tough yards. Did you see him stone Jarrell Casey, the defensive tackle for the Titans that goes to the Pro Bowl every year? That's the kind of weapon that the Raiders needed. But even more importantly, I think he just gives them a mental edge.
Meanwhile, Jared Goff, year two for him as the Rams quarterback with Sean McVay. Great debut for McVay as head coach of the Rams, granted against the Colts. Put up 46, but before a relatively sparse crowd in the L.A. Coliseum.
Sparse is being kind, yeah. Look, the NFL is a little concerned about this. This is going to be a long 3 years before that new stadium in Inglewood opens. And I think the NFL is starting to realize they rushed into the San Diego two-market solution. But right now, the league is embarrassed that they can't put more people, more butts in the seats in those two markets. This Sunday, both are at home at the same time. That's going to be the first big test of that market.
Well, the Rams were at home against the Colts, although Chuck Pagano afterwards spoke of the 49ers.
We got our asses kicked, and credit 49ers and Coach McVay.
What kind of a precarious spot is he in as the head coach?
I can't imagine him surviving this because I think this is a debacle unfolding in Indianapolis. I think this is a Colts team that has lost its way. You have to wonder, with Andrew Luck, if he gets healthy in October and they're 0-5, 0-6, do they even rush him back? What's the point? Because you're playing for draft position at that point.
Meanwhile, in 2016, the Cardinals went into the campaign. High expectations, lost in week one. It seems they never recovered from that defeat against the Patriots. Now they're trying to bounce back after a terrible performance by Carson Palmer in week one of 2017. And they've got issues because of the injury to David Johnson.
I'll go back even further. I don't think Carson Palmer ever recovered from the NFC title game loss with all those turnovers in Carolina. He's not the same guy. And I think that's where the problems start in Arizona. And I think Bruce Arians, the head coach, is starting to realize that he does not have a quarterback who's anything close to what he was in 2015.
And David Johnson, a favorite of fantasy football players, a guy who's been so good for them since he came into the league. Now they've lost his services for a while.
Yeah, Bruce Arians said maybe Christmas they get him back. Obviously, that's 15 weeks away. Their season is in serious jeopardy. They're going to look back, I think, and say 7-8-1 last year were the good old days.
All right, Don Banks with his bank shots. Don, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, back with Scott and Matt, looking ahead to the Patriots and the Saints this weekend. Right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. You want a real Zoe Show? Take these three cameras, follow me around on Bourbon Street night before the game. I'm just kidding. Business trip. Let's take a look at the Saints right here real quick. They got a really good quarterback. And going back to last week, I'm scared about vertical. So let's take a look at Kobe Fleener, number 82. Not a really fast guy. We remember Kobe from his days against the Colts. We don't like the Colts. We don't like him here because that means he's catching big chunks of yardage. Stop it right there. Okay, here's where you got to have communication. And with Stephon Gilmore, Malcolm Butler, regardless of who's going to be right, left, the communication, we can't have any more busted coverage. A lot of stack formation, backside. It's not a fast guy, Kobe Fleener. He's not fast, but he runs good routes, uses this, the body, to get open. And here's the one that could be the killer. Stop it right there. Okay. Formation. Here we go. Motion across. That's a good indicator for this guy, Drew Brees. Tells you right now, I got zone coverage. Go ahead and roll the tape. Watch this area right in here. If I'm him, I'd be licking my chops too. Not a fast guy, but a great pass catcher because of his hands. 19 catches against the Patriots, 14 yards per catch. Find number 82. There's your Zoe Show, but the real one's me on Bourbon Street.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as Patriots This Week continues with a look ahead to Sunday's matchup in New Orleans. It's a pairing of two teams at 0-1. Pats, of course, coming off the loss to Kansas City on a Thursday night. Saints, meanwhile, played Monday night and had to get home early on Tuesday morning after their defeat at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings. Is there an advantage there for the Patriots,
even though
they're the road
team? I feel really bad for them. I mean, we're going to be going through this win around Thanksgiving.
Right,
it's going to
right.
Denver. Then we're going to go to Mexico.
Right.
We got to go to Tampa on a Thursday. Yeah, I feel real bad for the Saints.
As Bill always says, for every short week, there's a long week.
Right.
For every long week, there's a short week.
Best thing they have going for them, I think they got a good, solid coach in Sean Payton. Now, watch his team the other night. This is not the same Saints team we've seen over the years to where it's vertical, it's stretched the perimeter, it's run a ton of flood routes. Guys like Marcus Colston, and going back to the days where they would take Brandon Cooks and put him over the top. It's good we have him. But they have some possession guys. I think they're more of a possession type offense. I don't know what they are as a running team yet. They got to figure that out. They got some issues. We'll get to that. But the best thing they have going for them is Drew Brees. You've got a veteran quarterback and a bounce back week for them. Hey, short week, but guys, we're playing at home. This is our building. Let's make smart decisions. It's going to be a good mental toughness type game between both quarterbacks.
I like the point that you made about the notion if there's going to be a short week, there's going to be a long week. There's always something going on the other side, and that is relevant here for the Saints. The Patriots, it's easy internally to be all upset about the things that didn't go your way, and the Saints have just as many problems. I mean, that they have a short week with those problems to fix. It's not just about rest. It's about figuring out what you're going to be, finding an identity. When you got tore up a little bit by Sam Bradford, and now you got Tom Brady and boys coming into town angry, upset, with more time on their plate to prepare themselves. So I do look at this Saints team, and I think it's a different prepare. You obviously know Brees is there, so you assume if he's open, he'll hit him. But it's different, as Zoe said. I mean, Michael Thomas is supposed to be the new guy, and he had a pretty mild game last week. I thought there was going to be a storyline of AP and his resurgence. We didn't see that in week one. So as you're preparing defensively, and you got tore up a little bit on inside interior run stuff, are we going to see more AP? You kind of don't know. So it's going to be a tick for tack, both teams looking at each other going, you weren't very good at stopping it, and we weren't very good at doing it, so who's going to be able to pull it off this week?
How much coffee you have today?
A lot. I didn't even
Match Adam show. We're renaming the show the Match Adam Show. I don't even have to take that. I don't have to do this block.
Matt and Zoe, I can go with that. I can go with Matt and Zoe.
You know, AP didn't get a lot of reps. He looked caffeinated on the sideline, sure. though. Got quite a reaction from social media circles with his look and perhaps some words with Sean Payton.
Tape don't lie. How long have you played? I played. It tells one thing, that eye in the sky does not lie. And you can see Adrian Peterson, hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Sean turns around and looks at him, and he gives him the death stare. I know they said nothing here, nothing to see, no big deal. There's a big deal there. Yeah, that's game one. So they need to worry about this guy a couple games.
And that's also him going back to Minnesota and wanting to prove himself that the Vikings should have done more to keep them in their fold. All right, perennial problem for the Saints. They're coming off three straight losing seasons. They get a lot of offense out of Brees and company, but not much resistance from the defense. And certainly it's a defense, as you mentioned, Matt, that struggled against Sam Bradford and Dalvin Cook.
And it's not a week to be talking beans about another team's defense because the Patriots didn't have a very good week themselves. I think if you look at personnel, though, the Patriots, you expect them to arc and be much better than that. The Saints, it might just be the same as you've seen in years past.
I mean, you look at the Patriots, you know, some constants, Devin McCourty over the years. They'll keep a corner. They'll let a corner go. But it's Dont'a Hightower. They're constants there. I look at the Saints defense. I don't see any constants. This is a remake. This is a redo for them. They're trying to find their identity. They're going to have a tough go. And I get Brandon Cooks in this game. I find ways to get him the ball. This is his former team. He's going to want to make plays. He's going to want to home runs. And I think it should be a big week for him.
One of the people that really tore up the Saints defense is Adam Thielen. Bright yellow gloves guy. And his game, to me, is a lot like Chris Hogan. He is a stretch the field sort of from the slot area occasionally. Stretch and sort of some of the downfield stuff. He made a lot of catches in that area of the field. And Hogan and Brady didn't connect at all, and they missed three or four opportunities in their game. I think they'll look at that and think that's a vulnerability, a place they can go back to and find some more plays.
All right, both fell hard in week one. Now they meet in the Big Easy, searching for their first win of the season. We'll be back with Scott and Matt's predictions right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
All Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And Scott Zolak, the last time the Patriots faced the Saints 4 years ago, we heard about unicorns and show ponies on the Tom Brady to Kenbrell Tompkins touchdown pass. What's going to happen this week? Who's going to be the game changer?
We're going to find the location of beef, and that beef is going to be with Brandon Cooks. He's going to be my game changer. 33-24, I got the Patriots. Last week, we got a call for what it is, 27 points on a really bad night for the offense, and that's a pretty good defense. They put a 27 spot on. So I look for them to bounce back, big bounce back week for this offense.
I'm going to go 31-24 Patriots, and I'm a little off on Joe's because I agree that he'll be the focus, but I think they'll go on their guy, Cooks. They're going to double up on him, leaving Chris Hogan to have a big game.
All right, guys, we'll look forward to the Patriots and the Saints this Sunday. Then we'll talk about the Texans next week on Patriots.
Don't you eat too
week.
Much jambalaya. Behave yourself.
You keep me in check. All right. For Scott Zolak, Matt Chatham, and Don Banks, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us on Patriots This Week. We'll talk to you next week. So long, everyone.